This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
I know I may be young, but I've got feelings too. And I need to do what I feel like doing. So let me go and just listen. All you people look at me like I'm a little girl. Well, did you ever think it'd be okay for me to step into this world? Always saying, little girl, don't step into the club. Well, I'm just trying to find out why, 'cause dancing's what I love. Yeah. See this guy, what's practical, what's logical, what the hell, who cares? All I know is I'm so happy when you're dancing there. I'm a slave for you, I cannot hold it, I cannot control it. I'm a slave for you, I won't deny it, I'm not trying to hide it.
Welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today I am joined by the lovely, lovely Dino Fetcher. How are you doing, Dino?
Hey, Callum. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm really, really good. I am currently recovering from Pride.
Yeah, I feel your pain.
It was an intense one. How was your Pride?
Mine was great, actually. Yeah, really fun. Lots of drinking out in Soho Square in the park. Lots of glitter.
Yeah. Were you in the parade this year?
No, I wasn't in the parade, but I watched it. It was great.
Yeah.
And then we moved on down to Soho Square and then finished the festivities with Sink the Pink.
Well, Sink the Pink, can't go wrong.
Yeah. Did you go?
I didn't. I've been to Sink the Pink many, many a time, and I love everything they do. I think it's incredible. And also Mighty Hoopla every year is amazing. But Pride is so busy that I just couldn't get down there.
It was literally like a sauna. I was wearing,
oh my gosh,
like denim pink dungarees, as you do, for my costume. And we just sweat, like ringable. Well, everyone was like, phew. It was like Slave for You, the video.
Well, I was out on the streets wearing nothing but a pair of wings, and I was dripping wet as well, so I can only imagine how hot it was inside. Yeah. Obviously, there was a bit of controversy around Pride in the parade. I don't know if you heard this.
I did. Is this with Turf?
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So 8 women stormed the beginning of the parade, and they kind of refused to let the parade begin. And they kind of had very transphobic messaging, and they were just refusing to let it start. And obviously that caused a lot of problems, but because they weren't actually committing a criminal offence, it was very difficult for them to be removed. So they actually end up leading the parade. They kind of walked 5 minutes ahead of the rest of the parade, and they walked ahead of the, because the big rainbow flag is what officially starts it, and they actually walked 5 minutes ahead of that. So they were separated. But it kind of had this thing where you had these transphobic people marching through the streets, which was absolutely terrible.
It's totally confusing. Like, it baffles me. I don't understand how members of our own community are kind of from within our ranks causing this kind of division and hatred. It makes me so desperately sad.
Yeah, me
too. Really sad.
Well, because they were lesbian women themselves, and I just think I don't understand how one marginalised group can discriminate against another.
Exactly. When there's like, when you're a group of people who knows how it feels to be marginalised and persecuted, to then turn around and tell someone, no, you're not valid, you know, that acceptance, that small bit of acceptance, especially within our own LGBT community, you're not allowed it on Pride. Yeah, I thought it was awful.
What I did think was great, though, was this. There was a very weird... I've seen videos and things, and I had friends who were in the crowd, and there was this very odd kind of atmosphere because people didn't realise what was happening. People who had lined the streets to watch the parade, they didn't realise that it had been seized. So it kind of ended up in this weird situation of people, like, cheering and shouting, seeing people in the distance coming, thinking it's the beginning of the parade, really cheering them on. And then as they get closer and as they actually saw what the signs say, it kind of dipped from cheering and excitement to kind of silence. And then people shouting at them and screaming at them. And, you know, I think it's great that people stood up for trans people in that moment, because it would have been very easy to just kind of idly stand by. But a lot of people actually spoke up, which is...
And that in itself is inspiring to see that.
It is. So I think, although, you know, 8 people tried to ruin it, the fact that 30,000 people marched and the fact that, you know, almost 1 million people turned up to celebrate says
a lot. A lot more than what they said, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about you, Dino. So you are on Humans.
That's right.
Tell me, it's a really big show right now, so tell me a little bit about it, because you play like a android, cyborg?
That's right. I play what's called a synthetic, or like synth for short.
Okay.
So I'm... Basically, the show is about these kind of humanoid android robots. It's like in a universe that is now, but parallel, where if you imagine like Alexa and Siri in humanoid form. So these like look exactly like people, and they are in all these jobs like factory workers, nannies, and implemented in society. And then they gain consciousness, and it's about what it is to be a human being. And those are the first two series.
Yeah.
And then this is the third series, which is where I joined. And I'm a new orange-eyed synthetic called Stanley.
Oh, we like Stanley.
So yeah, he's like he's like a bodyguard, chauffeur, PA, cleaner, nanny.
Okay.
Extraordinaire.
I've heard people kind of say that the show has almost like Black Mirror kind of vibes. Like it's almost like scarily close to reality sometimes.
Yeah.
And it has like some real political themes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's what's great about it, especially this series. It draws so many parallels to politically the kind of polarization that's happening now in society. Draws all these parallels to kind of where we are with politics, with things like the refugee situation. And it comments on them in such an amazing, creative way that really gets you to thinking, which is one of the things I love about the show.
Yeah, no, it sounds incredible, and it's on Channel 4 currently.
That's what, we just had our finale last Thursday, so it just finished, but it's still on in America on AMC. I think they've got like 2 more episodes to go.
Okay, and will we be expecting you back for a fourth?
Well, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
We're waiting to hear about the recommission.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't want to ruin it if you're watching it now, but I could come back, or unless I die, if you haven't seen the end.
Oh, well, I don't know what happened, so I don't want to accidentally push you into a spoiler or anything like that. And how do you feel kind of like... being an LGBT plus actor, how do you feel about your space in the industry? Do you feel like you kind of... do you feel there is enough representation?
I definitely feel like starting out, it was something I was very afraid of.
Yeah.
I always had a sense of... you're always kind of told... well, not directly necessarily, but a few times, but it's kind of like encouraged to keep it under wraps, that it's maybe a negative thing, that if you want to get these roles... you know, don't tell people. But I mean, I spent so many years in the closet in Wales.
Yeah.
And I just think it's quite toxic, and it wasn't something I wanted to continue to do.
Yeah.
And I think making decisions based on fear isn't like a good thing. So I just thought, screw it, I'd rather be out and just have it out there. And if I don't have a problem with it, then maybe everyone else won't. But I do feel it's definitely getting better.
Yeah.
Like the roles I've got, like before Humans, I was a lead for an ITV and Netflix show.
Okay.
Paranoid. I was playing a straight role.
Yeah.
So it's never like closed me down in terms of avenues for different roles. And I've had lots of amazing opportunities. And I do feel representation is getting a lot better.
Yeah.
And slowly it is changing, especially like talking about Pride. This year I felt a real different presence. I just felt like, you know, like corporate companies and stuff. And it just suddenly felt
like
elevated.
Everyone's getting behind,
you know what I mean?
It now.
Exactly. And I feel like change happens when people have the courage to stand up.
Yeah.
And if that's just by being out and saying I am who I am, you know, then you're playing a part, I think.
Yeah. So would that be your advice to anyone like a young actor kind of trying to make a break into the world? Would it to be authentically themselves? Just, you know, if they're gay, trans, whatever it is, just be yourself and say that openly.
I mean, I couldn't, you know, give advice. It was a very personal decision, I think.
Of course, yeah.
You know, it was something I knew that would make me much happier and be able to look at myself in the mirror.
Yeah.
But I definitely would say, yeah, always being your authentic self is just so much better for you. And I get letters and messages from people just from the fact that I'm out, and when people find out, like young gay people or just gay people in general, and it's really inspiring to them and gives them kind of, you know, not to be corny, hope or
no, absolutely.
A sense of pride about it, which is great. And if I can do that for one kid or something, then it feels like it's worth
amazing.
It. Well, it sounds like Miss America then.
I think it's really easy for people like me and you to almost forget like how difficult it can be to grow, because you know we've been there and done that. That was a long time ago for us now. But you know, if I really think back to it, I remember watching TV and feeling like there was nobody.
Yeah.
And you know, I think Graham Norton was the only gay man I could think of. And absolutely no disrespect to Graham, but because he was an older man and he was very like, you know, camp and funny and all of these things, I couldn't see myself in him.
Yeah.
And he was my only role model, and it was difficult not being able to see people. So, you know, having young people seeing all different kinds of types of LGBT plus people.
What you just said is exactly the same for me. I grew up in Wales, in Cardiff, but I lived with my dad in kind of a small village for a long time, and there was no one who was gay. Yeah. I didn't really understand the concept of it. I was so kind of, it was so alien to me. So I think it is really important for people to be able to see people they can relate to in the media.
Yeah.
Because it's a real strong crutch.
Totally, yeah. Do you remember how old you were when you met your first gay person or LGBT plus person?
I think I was like, probably like 16 or 17 that I knew.
Yeah.
It was
exactly the same for me. I was 16 years old, and I was actually having a conversation with a very close friend of mine the other day. She is a straight woman, and she's currently 33 years old. And we were having a conversation around trans people. And I just said, do you actually know any trans people? Do you actually have any trans friends? And she says, no, to my knowledge, I've not met a trans person. And that almost blew my mind that she was 33 years old and had never met a single trans person. Yeah. So imagine growing up trans.
Exactly.
And, you know, how are you supposed to have role models? And it's the same being gay, but I think, you know, for trans people, it's on a next level. So.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. It can be so isolating and you can feel so lonely. So even if you can, I don't know, see someone on a TV, it will give you strength.
Yeah. And speaking of TV, you were also in Cucumber Banana Tofu.
I
was a huge fan of that show. I just thought that show was wonderful because it was so, like, so much about sex and sexuality, and it was just dirty and gritty and fun, and but also like made some like really profound statements and
Russell
things.
Russell T. Davis, he's a genius,
absolute legend, because he wrote Queer as
That's right,
Folk
Queer
as
Folk,
well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. It was like, so I'd only left drama school the year before, so I was in a play in the West End, and then this was like my first big job. So it was such an honour to get to work on something with Russell T. Davis and just these amazing cast and creatives. It was so great. It was amazing fun.
And was that your first LGBT plus role?
Yeah, it was my first TV role, and it was my first LGBT plus roll.
Well, that's absolutely amazing. Let's have a little bit of music. Have you heard the new Years and Years album yet?
I haven't, but I've heard the single and it's great.
Yeah. Well, this is a song from the album. This is my favourite song from the album. This is Howl.
Okay.
It seems mighty treacherous. A superstition leads me. Maybe it's getting dangerous. I'm counting symbols, 1, 2, 3. Something in the water isn't me that's going under. I'm shaking. Psychic kind of power. Now's the time and now's the hour of making.
I absolutely adore Ollie Alexander's voice. I could just listen to it all day long.
He's very talented.
He's a very, very talented man. Dino, I wanted to talk to you about Mighty Hoopla. Because that's where we met, albeit very, 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 very,
very briefly.
I'd had a few beverages and I was enjoying myself. What was it, your first Hoopla?
It was, yeah. It was my first time. All my friends went last year and raved about it, so
okay. We
went in an even bigger group this year.
And what did you make of it?
It was great.
Yeah.
I loved it. I really loved it. I'm quite bad at festival things because I have a really short attention span, so I hate standing around and waiting. So
yeah.
I was just running about with my friends, and I missed somebody to act, but I saw Lily Allen.
Okay, good.
And she was She's great.
I feel like in that kind of environment, I never like try and make sure I need to go see this person. I need to go see this person because it never happens. Exactly. I just kind of like bounce around
and
see what happens.
You just stress yourself out, don't you? It's like, yeah.
What I love about Hoopla is, and you know, I feel like it's very similar to Pride in the kind of atmosphere and the community feeling. You know, it is predominantly LGBT plus people there, and there's just such a wonderful, welcoming vibe. And I feel like it is something that, as gay people, you know, those spaces are so important. You know, I think it's only when I'm in that space when I realize, gosh, I can fully be myself without any kind of fear or, you know, like even just like holding somebody's hand in the street, although I do it and I feel confident in doing it, there's always that tiny little niggling voice. And I think maybe people outside of the LGBT plus community don't really fully appreciate how that feels.
Of course. Well, if you've never had to experience, like you said, that niggle, that fear of, you know, if a guy holds his girlfriend's hand, he's not going to have that thought of, am I going to get smashed?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is something that goes through your head every time you're affectionate with, you know, a partner in public. Well, does mine.
Presumably you saw recently the statistics where it's like, I think it's something like 3/4 of LGBT plus people said that they feel afraid to hold their partner's hand in the street. I don't know if you saw this.
I didn't see those.
The statistics were put out recently, and I remember seeing it going like viral on Twitter. Everyone was talking about it. And I remember reading the replies of that tweet.
Oh god.
And oh my god, like the most ludicrous
crazy land though.
It is crazy land.
I don't read, like, luckily I've only ever had like really nice stuff.
Yeah.
Humans fans and fans.
Oh, that's lovely.
But like my friend one of my good friends is Nicola Thorpe, who's an actress, she's on Coronation Street, and she's my writing partner, and she's like epic female, she's like, what's the word? She's like a super feminist.
A super feminist.
That she's always fighting for women's rights, and she's been to the House of Parliament. She had this petition about heels in the workplace. She's amazing. And she gets annihilated on Twitter by these, like,
I don't know where these people come from. It's like they just crawl out of the woodwork to say not just like the most offensive and bigoted things, but also the most like ignorant and idiotic things.
And they can't spell, which is hilarious.
So with the holding hands thing, there was a few people actually replied saying, well, I'm a straight man, and there are some parts of London where I feel afraid to hold my girlfriend's hand. And
it's like,
that's not true.
That's like, just a lie.
Where are these places in London where you feel unsafe to hold your girlfriend's hands? Because I'd quite like to go there, to be honest. It seems to be run by the gays.
It's also that thing, isn't it, when people get like irate about us having a gay pride, and they're like, well, why can't we have a straight pride? It's like, be lucky you don't have to have a straight pride, because we're having a gay pride, because it's born from being persecuted.
And I just always say straight pride is every single day of the year, really. Yeah. Straight pride, Valentine's Day, you know? It's always straight pride. Donald Trump is going to be visiting the UK
that was a joke.
this weekend. Yeah, don't cheer for him. There's going to be protests. There's going to be a big protest. Everyone's going to take to the streets on Friday.
Aren't they like flying a massive thing? I heard.
Like
I don't know, but with a plane.
The baby Trump.
Yes.
I don't really understand what the baby Trump thing is about.
I can't wait to see it.
Is that going to be over London?
I think it's going to be like somewhere when he's, you know, coming out of the car, I guess. I don't know.
I heard it was crowdfunded by people, so that's how they kind of got the money together to fly this baby Trump through the sky, which again, that's just power of the internet. The mayor tried to stop it, apparently.
Really?
Well,
not Sadiq Khan.
Oh, we love Sadiq, though.
I love Sadiq.
Will you be joining in the protests, or will you be...
When is it? Because I'm terrible with
sometime
dates,
on Friday, I think.
Yeah. Usually what happens is my friends tell me and I'll go.
It's Friday the 13th, which is this Friday, and I believe it's happening at around 2 p.m.
Okay.
So, you know.
I think I could go to that.
Get involved. I'm going to be there. I feel like I need to make some kind of like really fabulous... Yeah. Sign or something.
Yeah.
I went to the last protest around the Trump visit last year.
He didn't come though last year, did he?
He didn't, no.
Is he meeting the Queen?
This time, is he meeting the Queen?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. No, I don't. Yes. I'm saying no, and then people in my ear are telling me yes. Apparently, yes, he's meeting the Queen.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I went to the last protest, and the amount of incredible signs. People are so sassy with their protest.
Yeah.
People are very
out there. Right. I don't want him here. Go away.
Later on in the show, Dino, we are going to be reacting to people's sex confessions.
Okay.
So for anyone listening who wants to send us in a little sex confession, you can do that by emailing callum@foobarradio.com. Be you know, tell us your most deepest, darkest secrets, because we want to react to them. It's all completely anonymous, so don't worry about us exposing your identity to the world. I want to know a little bit more about you, Dino, so we're going to play a game in just a hot second. But first, we're going to have a little bit of Dua Lipa.
Okay.
You call me all friendly, telling me how much you miss me. That's funny, I guess you've heard my songs. Well, I'm too busy for your business. Go find a girl who wants to listen. Cause if you think I was born yesterday, you have got me wrong. So I cut you off. I don't need your love. Cause I already cried enough. I've been done. I've been moving on since we said goodbye. I cut you off. I don't need your love. So you can try all you want. Your time is up. I'll tell you why. You say you're sorry, but it's too late now. So save it, get gone, shut up. Cause if you think I care about you now, well, boy, I don't give a fuck. I remember that weekend when my best friend caught you creeping. You blamed it all on the alcohol. So I made my decision. Cause you made your bed, sleep in it. Play the victim and switch your position. I'm through, I'm done. So I cut you off. I don't need your love. Cause I already cried enough. I've been done. I've been moving on since we said goodbye. I cut you off. I don't need your love. So you can try all you want. Your time is up. I'll tell you why. You say I'm sorry, but it's too late now. So save it, get gone, shut up. Cause if you think I care about you now, well, boy, I don't give a fuck. I see you trying to get to me. I see you banging on your knees. Boy, I don't give a fuck. So stop trying to get. I don't give a damn. You keep reminiscing on when you were my man, but I'm over you. Now you're all in the past. You talk all that sweet talk, but I ain't coming back. Cut you off. I don't need your love. So you can try all you want. Your time is up. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why.
You say I'm sorry.
Dino,
yes.
Are you ready for a little game?
Yeah, I'm actually quite excited.
All right, this is Two Truths, One Lie. So Dino has three facts about himself, and I'm going to have to try and figure out which ones are true and which one is a lie.
Okay.
So are you ready to read me your first one?
Yes.
Okay, take it away.
Okay, so I once had a sexual encounter with a man just as Britney Spears.
Wow.
There's one. Okay.
Wow. Okay. So how long ago was this? This must have been a while, because you're in a happy relationship.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It was back in Wales, where I'm from.
Okay.
So that's where all the mischief happened. I was 17 at a house party. He came to the house party dressed as Britney Spears.
So just like
to
Halloween clarify. Party or just...
No.
Just he just came
just like
as
a
Britney.
House party. It might have been a fancy dress house party.
Okay. Were you dressed as anything?
I wasn't actually, no.
Oh, you didn't make an effort?
I know.
Letting Britney down.
I was living in the house, so it was my friend's house I was staying with.
Okay.
So essentially I've slept with Britney Spears.
Are you a Britney Spears fan?
Do you know what? So I used to be like a psychotic avid fan. My wall looked like a murder scene from a CSI. And she holds a nostalgic place in my heart.
Okay.
But I'm not so much into her newer stuff. But like up to Blackout, I love.
But because you're going to, she's headlining Brighton Pride this year, and you are going down to see her there.
Yeah. Have to go.
Yes. Yeah. And Britney was good. Britney was good in the bedroom.
Yeah, Britney was great.
Okay, brilliant. Okay. For now, I'm kind of. I feel like this one's probably maybe true.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. Let's hear your next one.
Okay, my next one is my longest relationship that I've ever had is under 2 years.
Ooh. Wait, but your current relationship, how long's that been?
My current relationship is coming up to 2 years.
Oh, okay. So you've had one that's longer, but only slightly longer.
No, I've never had a relationship that is longer than 2 years.
Oh, okay, right.
See?
So the one you're in now, is that your longest relationship?
No.
Okay, so you had one. Okay. I feel like we're around the same age, right? You don't have to reveal your age.
Yeah, we're about the same age.
I feel like that's very possible. Okay. I had a 6-year-long relationship.
Okay.
I started that very young. I was like 16 years old.
Okay. No, wait. So my thing is that the longest relationship I've had is under 2 years. Are you with me?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm just clear. I just feel like you've had enough time to have a relationship that could have been longer than that. But you haven't. I feel like... Oh, I don't know. I feel like maybe you're trying to pull the wool over my eyes and you've actually had like
one
really, really, really long relationship or something like that. I'm not sure. I'm putting a pin in this one.
Okay.
Let's hear your third and final one.
Okay. And my next, when I was 19 and I'm from Cardiff.
Okay.
I snogged H from Steps.
I didn't even know he was gay.
Yeah. Didn't you? Well, how did you not know you were gay?
I mean, I could have assumed, but I didn't actually know. Yeah. I didn't actually know for certain.
It was brief. It was in a nightclub called Pulse, which is in Cardiff City Centre.
I've been to Pulse. I have.
On the sticky carpeted floor.
Yeah, I wasn't that much of a fan of Pulse.
No, it's very like regional cramped, but it's fun.
It kind of, because, you know, I grew up in quite a small little town which only had like a little gay club.
Oh, really?
Going, and Cardiff kind of had that like nice kind of homely feel where there's, you know, the bars are kind of small. There's not many of that people, but there's something quite lovely about it.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I feel something is almost lost in London bars sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel like that community feel where it's really like LGBT plus people and not just like gay men.
Definitely.
I feel like sometimes it gets
lost. Yeah.
So sometimes it's quite nice to go to kind of, and I mean Cardiff's not little, but
yeah. But in comparison to London,
going to smaller places and
you kind of all know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you knew H from Steps.
Yeah,
apparently.
I didn't know him. No, I was out with my housemate Craig. We randomly went out on like a Wednesday.
Okay.
Just a student night. And he was there with his friend, but she wasn't from Steps.
Okay.
It was very wasted and very brief, but it's my claim to fame.
But he's quite a bit older than us, isn't he?
Yeah.
So you were 19 and he must have been...
I have no idea, like late 20s?
Oh, okay, so not as...
So not like... He was in Steps. Not that old.
Yeah, but like Steps, like we were kids when they were a thing.
Yeah.
So they have to be like 15 years older at least.
He must have been like late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, I would say so. Okay, and do you like an older man?
Or
was it just the fame? Was it just the fame that drew you in?
I do tend to go out with people either my age or a few years older.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was he a good kisser?
I was wasted. The whole time I was like, I'm kissing her, she's dead.
That is beautiful. So you had sex with Britney Spears when you were 17.
Mm-hmm.
Then you kissed H from Steps when you were 19. But during all of this, you had never been in a relationship longer than 2 years.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know. Don't pressure me. I feel like maybe all of these are true, but there's like a little bit of a you've twisted something somewhere along the way. So
you're not getting any more information out of me. So.
I feel like maybe like the person you had sex with at this house party wasn't dressed like Britney.
Okay.
They were dressed like Whitney.
Okay.
Or
is
Mariah.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, I'm okay. saying this is my final answer.
Drum roll, please. Okay, reveal.
What kind of a drum roll was that?
I don't know how to make a drum roll with your mouth. So I did have sex with someone just as Britney Spears who came to a house party. The longest relationship I have ever had is the one I'm currently in, which is under 2 years.
So
and I have
true.
Never kissed H from Steps.
You've never kissed H from Steps. So you
never.
Just
I made up that whole story and added in the details to throw you.
You're a very good liar.
Thanks.
You're
my job.
Very good liar indeed. Oh, I was really like excited by the fact that you'd kissed H from Steps.
Sorry. Yeah.
Good. And I'm surprised you didn't go for somebody a little bit more.
Well, I went for H because he's from Wales. So I was like, made that connection. See.
See, I really did not. I didn't really make that connection.
Oh, I still won.
In my mind. You did win. And honestly,
I get a prize?
Yes. You...
this pen?
Yes. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Hooray.
Lovely.
I usually win that game. So I'm very...
Oh, really?
Very impressed, Dino. You're a very good actor. Because acting is lying, basically.
Well, yeah. Just, a form of, yeah.
You get paid to lie, essentially.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of people tweet us in. The lovely Spencer has tweeted in and said, you are both so amazing. So that's lovely. Do you have a very avid, active fan base? Because you were speaking earlier about, you know, you get lovely tweets and things sometimes, and particularly from like young LGBT plus people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have quite like a hardcore fan base?
I mean, like, I wouldn't say like hardcore, but I definitely, from doing Cucumber and Banana, it all started there. And then I did Paranoid, which is more of a kind of mainstream ITV show. So I had different fans collate from there. And now that I've done Humans, I've had loads of amazing sci-fi fans who are so, like, loyal and wonderfully intense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, lots of LGBT people do contact me, especially, like, younger people or younger gay people looking to get into acting or for advice or just to say that they've got some strength from knowing I'm gay.
Yeah.
Which is really, really lovely.
Yeah, okay. No, it is. And and where do you want to be? Like, what's the dream for you? Is it to be starring in a big Hollywood movie or like, to have your own TV show?
This question I always find tricky because, I don't know. I think I love camera, so I definitely want to be working more towards film. And I think TV now is the new film, like the way we're going with Netflix and you know, look at Game of Thrones, Stranger Things, these kind of mega series. So I'd love to really nail a wicked, exciting lead in a massive, brand new series
on Netflix or something.
Maybe
Netflix, if maybe you're listening.
They are all the Netflix execs are listening in.
That's why I'm on the show.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think like TV, like traditional television, will die out? Because I know in my house, you know, we have a TV, but we literally do not watch it ever. And then I kind of, you know, I go and visit my parents and they put the TV on. I'm like, gosh, what are you doing? Like, why are you putting on that antique?
More, it's more like for the background now, isn't it? Because you can record TV or you have it all on catch up and all four and iPlayer. So, yeah, it's definitely changing massively. Like, nobody really watches stuff live now. So when Humans plays, the responses and stuff will come over like a few days watching. It's not like, even when I did Cucumber and Banana, which was 2015 that came out, it's changed since then.
Yeah, right. I must say what I really do like about with live TV is when you have an event like Eurovision, for instance, first thing that sprang to mind
is that
everybody watches it at the same time and everybody like tweets along and everybody has parties and I love that kind of community environment. And I would be sad, I feel like we would lose something if we kind of lost TV.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to like vanish forever.
Okay.
I just think it's changing. It's inevitable.
Times are changing.
Yeah.
Well, you're an adaptive man, Dino.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're definitely going to keep ahead of the curve. And I'm sure your Netflix TV show is in the future.
Oh, can't wait.
Let's have a little bit of Ed Sheeran.
Oh.
break it down, thinking of making a new sound, playing a different show every night in front of a new crowd. That's you now. Chow seems to laugh is great now. See me lose focus as I sing to you loud. And I can't, no, I won't hush. I say the words that make you blush. I'm gonna sing this now. Ow, ow. See, I'm true, my songs are where my heart is. I'm like glue, I stick to other artists. I'm not you, now that'll be disastrous. Let me sing and do my thing, I'll move to greener pastures. See, I'm real, I do it all, it's all me. I'm not fake, don't ever call me Daisy. I won't stay put, give me the chance to be free. Suffolk sadly seems to sort of suffocate me. Cause you need me, man, I don't need you. You need me, man, I don't need you. You need me, man, I don't need you at all. You need me, man, I don't need you. Another wordsmith to make my tune sell. Call yourself a single writer, you're just bluffing. Names on the credits and you didn't write nothing. I sing fast, I know that all my shit's cool. I will blast and I didn't go to Brit school. I came fast with the way I act right. I can't last if I'm smoking on a crack pipe. And I won't be a product of my genre. My mind will always be stronger than my songs are. Never believe the bullshit that fake guys feed to you. Always read the stories that you hear on Wikipedia. And musically I'm demonstrating. Whenever I form life feels like I am meditating. Times at the Enterprise when some fella filmed me. Young singer rising like a Gabriella chill me. Cause you need me, man, I don't need you. You need me, man, I don't need you. You need me, man, I don't need you at all. You need me, man, I don't need you. You need me, man, I don't need you. You need me, man, I don't need you. You need me, man, I don't need you at all. You need me. Cause with the lyrics I'll be aiming it right. I won't stop till my name's in lights. The Stadium Heights with Damien Rice on red carpets. Now I'm on Arabian Nights because I'm young. I know my brother's gonna give me advice. Long night, a short height and I've gone hyper. Never be anything but a singer-songwriter. Yeah, the game's over but now I'm on a new level. Watch how I step on the track without a loop pedal. People think that I'm bound to blow up. I've done around about 1,000 shows but I haven't got a house plus I live on the couch. So you believe the lyrics when I'm singing them out. Wow, from day one I've been prepared with the or five wax from my ginger hair. So now I'm back to this old forgiven a dose of what the future holds. Cause it's another day. Plus I keep my last name forever. Keep the genre pretty basic. Gonna be breaking into other people's tunes when I chase it. And replace it with the elephant in the room with a facelift. Into another rapper's shoes using new laces. I'm selling CDs from my rucksack. Aiming for the paper selling CDs from my rucksack. Aiming for the majors nationwide. So we're just jacked instead of to get the bus back. Clean cut kid without a razor for the mustache. I hit back. When the pen hurts me, I'm still a choir boy in a Fen church tea. I'm still the same as a year ago, but more people hear me though according to the MySpace and YouTube videos. I'm always doing shows, if I'm not, I'm in the studio. Truly broke, never growing up, call me Rufio. Melody music maker, reading all the papers. They say I'm up and coming like I'm fucking in an elevator. Cause you need me, man, I don't need you. You need me, man, I don't need you. You need me, man, I don't need you at all. You need me, man, I don't need you.
How do you feel about dating apps, Dino?
Well, I'm in a relationship now, so I don't use them. But
before?
Before, I actually met my ex on Grindr.
Oh, Grindr.
I know, controversial, right? But I see it as, like, I see it as, like, Lord Voldemort says in Harry Potter, you know, there's no such thing as good or evil, it's how you want to use it. So I could use this pen to write, or I could use it to stab you in the head, but, you know... What are you going to do?
That's oddly poetic. Since we're talking about Grindr, that's strangely poetic. No, I don't think. I think there's a lot of when people hear Grindr, I think a lot of the time they go to a judgmental place.
Yeah.
Which again, you're absolutely right. It's how you use it, and
I do think though there's a necessity, especially for kind of people who are more vulnerable, or you know, very young people who might come onto the gay scene.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to fall in with the wrong crowd if you don't know yourself.
Yes. So my only issue with Grindr is that it was kind of... I mean, it was revolutionary. When Grindr came onto the market, it was very much a new thing. And nobody else was doing this, especially not in the gay space. Mm. So when Grindr came along, I remember being at university and it was this amazing way that suddenly... I didn't know how to find any gay people around me. Yeah. And then suddenly Grindr came into existence. Boom. And I could find them.
Yeah.
I think the problem was that at the time Grindr was the only thing available for that. And because it was very much a hookup sex app, all the conversations and things kind of led towards that. And what you ended up with was very young people. I know you have to be 18 to use it, but we all know full well that young teenagers are also using it and lying about their age. The only issue is that you suddenly have these very young people catapulted into this very adult world. But that was 10 years ago. Now we have alternatives. Now we have Tinder and Chappie and all these other things that people can use. Yeah. So I think now Grindr's fine. It's fine that this is a sex and hookup app because
there's other options.
There's like, other options.
It's become so implemented in society now, like straight world, gay world, every world. There's an app for that, literally, isn't it?
Absolutely. I used to travel a lot. I spent a couple of years traveling, and I actually used Grindr while I was traveling to make new friends.
I've done that. I was in Russia, and I was doing a course at the Moscow Arts Theatre School when I was at drama school, and it's this whole acting course. But I was like, I really want to go out one night, but they were really strict with us and wouldn't let us go out. So I was like, right, went to this cafe every day where we had Wi-Fi, and I went on and I made friends. I mean, it was Russia. It could have been. It was very foolish. But I made friends with a really lovely guy called Alex, and he was like, come out with me and my friends. So I snuck off, and they were so lovely. We all had this really nice Russian food, and then went out to some bars, and then I snuck back in.
That's absolutely amazing. And I think especially in somewhere like Russia, especially with the political climate there, I think you do need to be careful. But I actually think Grindr is probably quite
there's a whole documentary about it. There are people on there who use it as a trap, and then
Hunters.
Yes, that's it. They'll go to meet up, and then
I retract that statement. Yeah. Maybe it's not the safest thing. But it worked out for you, which is nice. And I think just in general, luckily, when traveling, I would still use Grindr now just to see who's nearby, find people to hang out with. And it doesn't always have to be the seedy
thing
that people think it is.
Not everybody on there is after that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the reason I bring up dating apps is because I've got another little game for you. Dating apps are traditionally very much about appearance. You decide if you want to talk to somebody, if you want to meet somebody based on their appearance alone. Mm-hmm. So we're flipping that on its head. And in this game, you're going to decide if you... I know you're in a relationship, but hypothetically. If you're going to date this person based on one fact about them and one fact alone.
I love games.
Okay, so your first one is... You look down and the person you're dating has toenails that curl over the edges of their sandals. Yeah, I feel a bit sick.
I'm confused. What do you want me to say if I like that?
So, no, you just have to decide whether you're going to continue dating this person.
Okay. So, for me, if someone has toenails that are that long, they're curling over their sandals, did you say?
Why are they wearing sandals on a date is my question.
Okay, first of all, thank you for highlighting that. Maybe it's this heat wave.
True.
You don't cut your toenails and they've grown over your sandals. You don't really have much self-respect.
Yeah.
And then it kind of gives indicators that you're not really going to be clean generally.
Yes.
So for me, I'd be like, let's have a Diet Coke. And I'd be like, something bad happened.
I've got to go. Very, very, very busy. I think I'm with you on that because I want to play devil's advocate here and I want to stand up for this toenail person, but I'm kind of struggling. Like maybe they're trying to make a fashion statement?
Maybe I'd ask them about it. If I was really into them, it'd be a shame. I would... You can't ask that on a first date, can you? What's going on with the minging toenails?
What the fuck's happening down there? Can you please explain that to me? Yeah, it is a bit of a tricky one. Yeah. I think their personality would have to be exceptional.
But it'd still be a red flag for me in terms of future dates. I'd be like, well...
It's just a self-respect hygiene kind of thing.
And you're on a date and your toes are out...
Yeah, unless you're on the beach. Yeah, no. I think I'm also saying no to this person. Okay, your next one.
Okay.
Your date has a naked picture of a random person as their lock screen.
Okay.
So, I mean, that sounds like me.
You need
to
give me more context. Is it just like it could be a really funny naked picture of their mate on a crazy holiday, or is it like a picture of a porn star, or is it, you know?
I think we don't know who it is, but it's a very kind of sexy pic.
Okay.
Like, maybe you can't see their genitals, but it's like very raunchy.
Okay.
Like, not something you would want your mother or your grandmother to see.
if I really liked them, I'd give them a chance, and I might be inclined to think it was some kind of an in-joke.
Okay.
And I'd leave it, I'd talk to them, see how it went, and then as we had a few more drinks, I'd be like, what's with the picture on your phone?
And if their answer was, it just really turns me on.
Okay. Then I'd be like, bye, I think.
Time to call it on that one.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm the kind of, like, because I'm a very thirsty, shallow boy, I feel like she's honest. I'm the kind of person who would have, like, a topless Shawn Mendes picture or something as my phone.
Yeah, but if you said, if you laughed about it and were like, oh, you know, then it'd be fine. But if you said that, which is what you said, then this turns me on. I'd be like
absolutely not.
You're going to cut me up into pieces and hide me in the wall.
Yeah, that is the kind of thing I would do.
I'm leaning more towards naked picture guy over toenail guy.
True, me too.
He'd still be a no for me.
Okay, yeah, I think he's a no for me as well.
Oh, also, what are we talking about the objective of these dates? Are we talking about, like, in terms of continuing into a relationship or just a dalliance?
It's just like, is this a deal breaker?
Okay.
I feel is the question.
Okay, yeah? I'd say the naked picture one then, not a deal breaker until I find out more.
Okay, fair. Okay, your next one. At a cafe, your date starts filling their pockets with the sugar sachets on the table. All right, am I on a date with my mother?
Okay.
Because that's what my mother does.
Again, though, how are they just kind of like, oh, yeah, just chatting, have a normal conversation and putting them in their pockets?
And not addressing it.
Or are they like, oh, I'm out of sugar, I'm just going to nick these?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think with so many of these things, context is so important. Like, there are many ways you can do it. And, like,
I'm not going to lie, I've nicked ketchup sachets before when I know I don't have any ketchup.
I've also nicked sugar before when I know. Especially, like, have you ever been, like...
It's based on you, this one.
Yeah, have you ever been, like, on holiday or something? And, like, you've got your own villa. And
yeah,
then, like,
exactly.
You need, like, ketchup, but you don't want to buy an entire bottle. And then you're in Burger King at the airport. We're like, oh, we're going to need ketchup.
No, you're totally right. Actually, yeah, that would not be a deal breaker for me.
I don't think so. I think I'm kind of like, I mean, if it depends how much they're taking. Like, if they're taking, like, 50 sachets of sugar.
I kind of respect them. It'd be like, fuck the system.
Yeah, fuck the system. Get your sugar. Like, good for you. I like this person.
Me too.
I feel like we'd get
Let's get their number.
Okay, and the last one is your date spends the night getting really, really wasted.
Okay.
How do you feel? That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Wait, and I'm not that wasted?
I mean, you can be if you like.
Okay, this situation rings a bell. I would be, like, are we talking, like, embarrassingly wasted?
Yeah, let's say.
I'd be pissed off.
Yeah, because I feel like I've done that on a first date.
On a first date?
Yeah. I have done that on a first date.
But sometimes people just drink when they're really nervous.
Yeah.
And if I really liked them, I wouldn't write them off. I'd help them get home and check if they were okay. And then the next day, maybe text and be like, you were wasted. And then if they were like, oh my God, mortified, I know. But if they were like,
again, it's absolutely about the context, I think.
But no, not a deal breaker.
And I think as well, it's like if you've gone for, like, dinner in a fancy restaurant and they've got wasted, that's a bit of a red flag. But if I've gone on a date where we've ended up at a bar and then we've ended up in a club on a first date. That's happened before.
I've done that.
So, like, when...
But then if they're getting wasted, generally wasted as well.
I think it would be unusual if you're on a date, like, in a restaurant and they're absolutely pissed and you're just sat there.
I think it would kind of terminate the potential for anything going further on that date if they were totally wasted and I wasn't.
Yes.
Because I'd be like, we're not on the same level. This is weird.
So, okay, so what if they turned up drunk?
Well, okay, so are we at a restaurant? Are we at, like...
Yeah, let's say you're in a restaurant. Not, like, particularly fancy, but, like, a nice restaurant. And then they walk in the front door, like, and they're already...
Okay, so are we talking, like, level 10? Oh, my God, everyone's looking at this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'd be out the back door, personally.
I think I'd just... No, see, I'm so painfully polite. So I know I'd sit through the meal. I'd probably be like, hi. And then just wade through it till it was over and then make excuses to leave. Maybe be like, do you need help getting an Uber?
Yeah, have you ever
some bread.
have a few slices of that bread.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in the situation where you've been in a date that you've wanted to get out of?
Oh, yes, I have. And certainly have.
And what is your go-to
This is what I just said. Yeah. I can't. My best mate Declan, he's really good at it. If he's not having a good day, he literally commits to like phone. Oh, so I've just got to take this, and then he's like, something really bad's happened. Like, I have to go.
I can't do that.
So I sit through them and desperately try to think of questions. I just go through the day. It's hell on earth.
I remember being on one day and we literally could not hold a conversation. Yeah. Either of us. Like it wasn't just him, it was me. We were both sat there and we were literally just, and it was a table for two in this little quiet restaurant as well. And there was nothing. There was no way for us to like,
it kills me.
And we just looked at each other in silence.
Those silences kill me. I can't bear awkward silences. I have to try and fill them with something. That's when you end up asking questions like, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
It's been very hot weather we've been having.
Yeah, exactly, the weather. Yeah. You know you're in trouble when you hear the weather.
Well, it's been great getting a little bit of an insight into your feeling about dates. Later on in the show, we're going to be reacting to sex confessions, so if you want to send them in, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. Please send us your worst, because I'm in the mood for some fun.
Yeah, me too.
All right, let's have a little bit of music. This is Man in the Mirror, Michael Jackson.
Make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. And as I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street. Not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? A sonorous disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know. Yeah.
Foo Bar Radio presents
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James.
You're listening to Back Row and Chill, and I've been joined today by the comic consultant. Soon you came in, you called him Casanova, and why?
Because he is the sweetest sweet boy you're ever going to meet in your life.
Really? I've got a housemate, he's a bit of a Casanova. Like, it's become a running joke. We call him Joey from Friends.
Okay.
I'll come into my kitchen in the morning, like, and there's just like this young girl in her knickers. And I don't know how he does it. You're a lovely guy, but not, you know, I wouldn't be like, yeah, you get all the women, but yeah. Somehow, I mean, he's got me. Yeah.
The gift,
I'm like,
of the gaff.
The gift of the gaff. Yeah. Funny gets funny.
Every Friday.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James.
From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
We are now joined on the phones by the very, very lovely Carol Ann Rice. How are you doing?
I'm doing brilliantly, thank you. I would do, wouldn't I? Because I'm a life coach and I should always be happy and brilliant.
I like that response. So, yeah, you are a life coach and a personal development expert, I hear.
I am. I help people become their best selves.
Amazing. Well, I'm here in the studio with the very lovely Dino Fetcher.
Hi, Carol.
Okay. Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm brilliant, thank you. Really excited to be speaking to you both.
Oh, this is such a lovely little conversation. I feel like I've just like called up a lifelong friend and we're going to have a catch up.
Oh, let's have a group hug.
Well, I don't know about you, Dino, but I feel like I'm quite a happy person and you seem like quite a happy person as well. But I feel like we could all do with a little bit of a tune up of, you know, how to stay happy. Dino and I were just discussing here in the studio how we're both feeling a little bit destroyed after the very heavy Pride weekend. So I think we could do with like a little bit of a motivational pep talk and something to keep our spirits up. So Carolyn, tell us a little bit like about how you work with people, and you know, I really want to know some of your like best practices for being happy.
Well, that's great, thank you very much. Not many people know what a life coach does, and maybe about 15-20 years ago a lot of people didn't know what a personal trainer does, and it was kind of like only the very rich and millionaires and billionaires had a personal trainer. And now you can go down the YMCA, you can get your personal trainer, it's affordable, so it's a lifestyle thing that most people have access to. And I think that soon everyone will start to be thinking about life coaching in the same way. You hit a crossroads in your life and you think, I could do with a bit of help and my family and friends are lovely, but I'm not getting anywhere with this. So you need a neutral, independent person to offer a different perspective who is fully trained to give you some ideas on how to boost your confidence, feel happier, get clarity. That's the most important thing. Get clarity of what you want from your life and help you set a path for the future to move you along to that exciting new place. And often when we're left on our own, we just go round and round and round in circles and we can't do it on our own. Family and friends are lovely. They offer suggestions, but they kind of know us too well. So sometimes you need a really kind, unconditionally supportive, neutral person to help you find your true calling and help you to get happier and help you to get more confident in life.
I absolutely love that. And I really love the comparison there to the personal trainer. You know, like I have a personal trainer myself, and I think it's, you know, our mental health is just as important as our physical health.
It is, and it's becoming more and more interesting that people in the government and society now are not ashamed to bring it up to the surface and say, yeah, I've had depression, or I'm a bit sad, or I suffer terribly with anxiety. And a little thing for your listeners, if you're feeling very sad at the moment, it's because you're looking backwards into your past.
Ooh.
If you're feeling anxious, then you're looking forwards into your future. So the past is sadness. The future is anxiety. The best place you can be to help yourself is right here, right now, obviously on FUBAR Radio, in the present. In the present, because in the present, you're calm, you're peaceful, you don't know what's going to happen next. And if you can try and bring yourself into the now, you are free of sadness and anxiety.
I think that's so very wise, Carol Ann. And I feel like recently I've been having conversations with friends and things, and I've been like, oh, I don't know where like my future's going. Maybe you feel this way a little bit as well, Dino.
Totally.
And I guess that's that anxious voice. But you know, I think maybe if like you're panicking about your future and things, I think sometimes maybe it can be quite difficult to kind of just go, right, I'm just going to be in the present. You know, if you've got a lot of worries and things.
It's like, I find it like,
especially in, I guess, your line of work too, but as an actor, it's so uncertain and there's lots of chaos. So it's a real work to stay in the present. So I started doing meditation, which really is actually proving quite helpful. But yeah, I completely agree. When you are actually able to be present and realize that those thoughts aren't real, and it's so helpful.
It is. Well, you know, I've worked with a lot of actors, and it's very difficult for them to stay positive and happy when they don't know when the next audition is coming, or if they've got the part, or how long it's going to be before any work comes. And I always say to them, be prepared as if, and then this is for all of us really, be prepared as if something amazing is about to happen. So keep your teeth whitened, keep your muscles toned, keep your hair nice, get out of bed in the morning, eat properly, and have the wonderful expectation that something good is coming. Rather than, I'll put everything on hold, I'll just eat junk food, I won't get out of bed, I don't know what's going to happen. Act as if you're ready for your miracle. You're ready, and I love this mantra, miracle find me now. That's my favourite mantra.
Oh, I love that.
So you get up, I love it too.
It's like a spell.
Miracle find me now. So you're walking down your street, miracle find me now, and you start to feel more positive. You're ready to accept good news. You're ready, you're looking good, your teeth are white, you're set for positive things, as opposed to, I'm a bit frightened, I don't know what's going to happen. And the other thing to think about is, when you look back on your past, even when it's been a bit dark and scary and you were uncertain, things did happen and things got good. You have to remember that when looking forward. I've been here before, I did it then, I can do it again. And remember, it's not lost. The moment, you know, the time, all is not lost. The sun comes out again, the good times roll in, and just keep positive. Keep your eyes on the future. Good stuff is coming your way.
I always like to almost look at life and our experiences and everything as a bit of a story. I know that sounds really, really corny, but whenever I look back at past experiences for myself, no matter how bad or awful an experience is, I always try to almost as if I'm telling a fairy tale or something, and I'm like, well, what's the positive outcome? Because there's always a positive
Absolutely,
outcome.
Absolutely, yeah. Even from, you know, auditions that you don't get, that really hurts.
Yeah.
You always will take something from it. Positive that will feed into the next steps.
This is really important for anyone in life, even if you're going through a hard time. What am I learning? What message is in here for me? And if there's some meaning that I can make from this, nothing is wasted. It's a learning curve. It's a bit of bad medicine, but it's made you stronger. Rather than be the victim of it, I'm getting stronger. Thank you for the lesson. I've learned it, I'm going to move on and start looking to the future. And always ask yourself this, what's the best that can happen rather than what's the worst that can happen? Because I think we're naturally hardwired to be a little bit daunted by the future. But if you just think, well, what's the best that can happen? And I've survived it in the past, I will do again. And whatever happens, I'll be okay.
Yeah. I always use a little thing, and maybe you've heard this before, Carolan, but it's, instead of saying why me, instead say try me. So like when you're feeling
it's
like, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself and look at victim, like, why is this happening to me? Instead, I'm going to be like, no, you know what, throw it at me. I can take this. I can take on this challenge.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. I've never heard that one before.
I like it. I always give a little talking to myself when I'm kind of getting in that mood. I want to play a little bit of devil's advocate here with you, Carolan. Now, I'm not saying I do think this, but do you think, what about sometimes, you know, like a little bit of feeling anxious about the future or whatever? Could that not be a good thing? You know, like worrying about your future, is that little bit of fear going to push you to kind of get out there and chase those things that you want?
I agree. And the thing is, none of us are ever going to be fear-free.
Yes.
And I was talking to a potential client this morning, and she said, well, it's all right working with someone like you, but after a few weeks of not working with you, the fear will come back. And I said, yeah, well, that's how human beings are. One of my best friends was captain of the British hairdressing team, and I said to him, James, why is it some people have brilliant hair in the morning and I don't? He said, no, nobody has brilliant hair in the morning, Caroline. We all have to put a bit of effort in.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like everything in life. You'll always have a bit of fear. You might always have to do exercise. You may always have to watch your weight, but that's called having a go, looking after yourself, really wanting the best for yourself. And even if the fear comes every day, start to learn some coping strategies for it. So for example, I might wake up in a bad mood, but I know that a little run around the park, a nice coffee, listening to positive music, taking time out to meditate will change that mood around in an hour or so.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a zippity-doo-dah mentality that I've been every day. Like, I'm feeling lucky, 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 and off I go. But some days are better than others, as we all know. Mm-hmm. But if you have some coping strategies to sort of lean on, what can I do? I am a bit anxious. Okay, I'm anxious about the future. That's okay. I've felt this before, and everything's been okay. It's okay to be anxious.
Totally. For me, it's like I need to implement daily work, and so if I'm feeling anxious and kind of lost in the chaos, if I'm working towards, or I write, I'll go and write, I will work on scenes, or I'll go to a workshop or gym or something. So I feel like even though you're not physically doing something directly towards a role or career, it's all a part of it, so it feels like you're doing something.
Brilliant. I love that, because you're always preparing. And was it Dame Judi Dench said recently, she's in her 80s, she's still got stage fright.
Yeah.
It doesn't go, but what you do is you manage it.
Yeah.
And not think there's something wrong with you because you're feeling a bit anxious about something that's coming up. Yes, we all do. Yeah. But manage it and just think, well, that's that feeling I get and I'll be okay.
Do you think an awful lot of our sadness and anxiety and all the rest of it comes from like comparing ourselves to others? Because it's interesting there, like with what you were saying about Judi Dench, I think we would all look to her and think, oh no, it just comes naturally to her. She doesn't have to try. She's got it easy. And I think when we look at other people as humans and realize that they're struggling as well, I think that's my biggest flaw, is constantly comparing.
I do the
every
exact
single
same
day.
Thing. In a negative way, do you mean? Like, as in it makes you feel bad.
I look at a guy on Instagram. Why is his body better than mine? Why is that guy more successful than me? Why do they have a relationship? You know, all these things.
Mm. Well, your lovely little mantra, why me, try me. Try this one, compare and despair.
Compare and despair.
As soon as you compare yourself negatively with someone, you lose 100% of the time.
So
you got that's a big one, isn't it? So if you know you're going to lose 100% of the time, please stop doing it. So there's always going to be someone fitter, blonder, thinner, better looking, richer, younger. That's life, you know. Stop doing it to yourself, because you diminish yourself and your own greatness that way. So say you're on the Thames and Philip Green pulls up with a 300-foot yacht, and then some Saudi sheikh pulls up with a 400-foot yacht.
Yeah.
Philip Green's going to think, oh, my yacht's not up to much. Because he's comparing in a negative way. He might have all the jewels in the world, all the riches in the world, but if you start thinking, but I haven't got as much as that person, suddenly you've reduced yourself.
I do often try and take myself out of it a little bit and just look at myself in isolation and be like, you've got this, you've got this, you've got this.
Exactly, yeah. Or like, focus on your achievements. That's what I tend to do. I'll be like, well, hang on, I've done this and this and worked with these people. How amazing. So easy to forget all the stuff you've achieved and accomplished when you're looking at what you don't have.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. So I ask my clients to keep what I call a big me up book.
I like that.
You like this? go to Paper Chase, Ryman's or Smith's, wherever your favourite stationers are. Buy a lovely book, but it can't be like a ratty old book. It's going to be a book you're going to keep for a long time.
Okay.
And you start to write 50 to 100 really amazing things about yourself.
Just like in a list?
A list, and it's just simply things like, I look good in Navy, my friends say I'm a loyal good friend, I'm a good listener, I bake a good pasta dish, I always show up, and start, I always smell nice, people say this about me, and every time you get a compliment, write it down, because as humans, we forget our good stuff, and then we think, oh, this old thing, or I don't look so great today, I'm not so hot today. Look at your Big Me Up book, keep it in your wallet, or your bag, or your top pocket, or wherever you take with you, and write down these good things to remind yourself of who you really are, all the good stuff about you.
I'm obsessed.
I love that.
With that
that's
idea.
What it is.
Like that's
so you just like keep writing in it then.
You keep writing it forever and ever. And I have when I have my diary in December and I start to transfer my notes over to my new paper diary, in the back I write a good 50 to 100 things that people have said about me. And I've got it in front of me. It's things like, I don't know, glamorous, articulate, magical, generous, warm, and things that people have said to me. I put it in the back. So when I'm having a wobbly day or I'm not feeling so wonderful, I look at the back of my Big Me Up book or diary and think, oh yeah, that is who I really am. not this feeling a bit fat because I drank too much wine last night. Yeah. You know, hair's not gone just there. No, I'm this essentially, and this is who I am, and I mustn't forget it.
Well, Caroline, I've got one for your book. You know, I feel like you've really, really lifted. Not that I was in a bad mood; I was in a good mood already. But you've really, really lifted my spirits. I think you naturally have that, and obviously, I mean, it's your career, it's your profession, but you have that real impact on myself,
thank
and I'm
you.
Sure Dino feels
yeah,
the same.
Yeah, I'm smiling madly. So.
We weren't put here to suffer. We were put here to be joyous human beings, happy people. And happiness is contagious. Pass it on. Make someone else laugh and you will feel really good. You know, really make it your intention each day to find your bliss. And because happiness is like a petrol tank, it does go down. And we start thinking, oh, I'll look forward to that party or that holiday or that nice thing that's coming up on the horizon. But here's something for you and your listeners. Happiness never turns its face away from us. We turn our face away from it. Mm. And what I mean by that is, it's like oxygen. It's right in front of you. You decide whether you take a big breath in and say, I'm happy, I'm blessed, I'm going to have a good day. Or you breathe in dark thoughts, dark clouds, spooky, cobwebby things. So make it your intention to find your happiness each day. Every hour, think of something that you might build in. So I call them bliss points. So my first bliss point is my cup of tea. Then it go for my run around my park. That's the next bliss point. My cup of coffee when I come back. A lovely shower. My products. I light a candle. I do my meditation. So every hour, I've got something that I'm mindfully looking forward to and loving. Not just the big holiday, the new car, the lovely purchase. Every day, you can have 10 to 15 moments of absolute joy if you build them in.
Oh, and I love that.
You love it, yeah. And you mindfully love it. Like, I'm going to love my cereal this morning. I'm going to love my coffee. I'm going to love walking around the park or the garden. But really, truly being in the moment and loving it.
Well, I'm taking that away from you as well. You've given us some amazing lessons here. If people want to follow your journey, if people want to see more of your work, where can they do that?
Well, I'm on. Well, you look me up, Carol Ann Rice. I also train life coaches to people to become life coaches. I have an academy, and it's called Pure Coaching Academy.
Wow!
And I'm on Instagram, Carol Ann Rice. Obviously Twitter, but just Google me, Carol Ann Rice, life coach, and I'm there. And if you sign up to my newsletter, I give away all these sort of tips every week as well.
Well, amazing. Then everyone listening should absolutely go and sign up to your newsletter.
I'm signing up.
Yes, please. Well, yes, please.
Caroline, you have been absolutely amazing. Thank you for lifting our spirits. Thank you for lifting up the spirits of our listeners as well. You've been amazing.
Well, you've been a lovely too, and really, really lovely people to talk to. Have a lovely evening.
Nice to meet you, Caroline.
Bye, Caroline.
Bye.
Lots of love. Bye-bye. Bye.
She was so
cute.
So nice. Like,
really
I genuinely
nice.
Feel like I yeah. You've got a big smile on your face. Yeah. I think I do as well.
You looked at me at one point and I was just looking at you like...
Well, let's have some uplifting music, I think, to follow that. So let's have a little bit of First Time He Kissed a Boy.
First time we kissed a boy, and now we never know.
We just after, I mean, after Caroline's really, really positive thoughts, I've just heard that we are 1-0 in the football. Woo! Which is very exciting. If very we exciting. Win this match, we'll be in the final.
Yeah.
And I mean, anybody who knows me or follows me knows that I don't really care about football. But what I will say is that I really love the kind of, you know, the excitement, the country all coming together.
It's infected the nation.
Exactly. And I would love to see us in the final just because I feel like watching the final match.
And I'm Welsh and I even want England to win. Which is a
thing. So fingers crossed. I feel like Caroline helped us put some positive thoughts into the universe.
Yes.
So fingers crossed we will win the game. Dino, so because you're in a sci-fi TV show.
Yeah.
I thought we would play a little bit of Porn or Not Porn, but with a sci-fi theme this week. So I have five different clips. Some of these are from porn and some of these are from not porn. So they're either sci-fi porn or sci-fi movies or TV shows.
Okay, and I have to guess which is...
Together. I don't know the answer either.
Okay.
We have to figure out which are which.
There's sci-fi porn.
Sci-fi, but there's everything porn. Like, literally, anything you can think of, there's a porn version of that. Yeah, it's there's a lot of porn out there. I don't know if you've ever had a delve.
No, I've never watched.
Never, ever watched porn. No, me neither. What's porn? Never heard of it. Are you ready for your first one?
I'm really excited.
Okay, here we go.
I don't like the way you're looking at me, boy.
That sounded like Wild Wild West or something rather than sci-fi.
I think I laughed over it. Can you hear it once more?
I don't like the way you're looking at me, boy.
Okay, so could you hear like a rhythmical...
Like a robotic rhythmic something.
Yeah.
Okay, let's...
I don't like the way you're looking at me, boy.
Oh, yeah, there's like a little, like, almost like a squeaky bed or something happening there.
So that, see, my instinct would have been to say sci-fi movie, but that's given, like, thrown me now.
He's saying, what's he saying? I like the way...
I like the way you're looking at me, boy.
I don't, like, okay.
I reckon porn.
Do you? Well, like, what's the expert, like, he's an angry robot.
Let's hear it once more.
I don't like the way you're looking at me, boy.
Yeah.
I don't like the way you're looking at me, boy.
So he's like an angry robot who doesn't like the way that someone's looking at him, and now they're going to have
it's
sex.
That whole, like, maybe it's like a daddy robot.
Oh, fuck. Should we say porn? Do you want to say porn?
Okay, let's say porn.
Okay, we are saying porn. That is our final answer. And what is the answer?
That!
Not porn. God damn. It's sci-fi
Village
horror film.
Village of the Damned.
Village of the Damned. The groundskeeper of the school gets angry at one of the kids for staring at him. After he hits him, all the other kids use their telekinesis to impale the keeper on a mop.
Whilst bouncing on a bed.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, 1-0.
All right, next one.
This game is hard because obviously the objective is they're trying to throw us.
They're trying to throw us, or so it could be a double bluff.
Yes, damn it. So the obvious, you know, that sound.
There's a lot of squishing and a lot of squeaking.
Are they going to do two not pawns in a row? So who knows? You can't think like that, can you?
Let's get our minds out of the gutter.
You're right.
And, like, you know, don't think dirty. What are we hearing here? It could be like a really like squishy alien thing.
It sounds like someone's walking. Like being orbed up. Like,
yeah. I can see that.
And then their legs coming through. I actually started them though.
So I'm seeing some kind of creature thing. Are you seeing a creature?
Yeah, definitely. Some kind of like the blob, you know?
Yeah.
Once more.
I think that might be it breathing, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think
like
not
it's a very
porn.
Heavy breathing.
Yeah.
Not porn?
What do you think?
I think not porn as well. I think we've cracked
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah.
I think not porn.
If it's porn, I'm going to be livid.
Not porn. Final answer.
Damn it!
Porn! God damn it!
Sci-fi
aliens get it on. After being wounded in battle, Janie gives her alien lover a handjob as he dies. Wow. Oh, wow. All right, so this is Janie giving her alien lover a handjob as he dies. Let's hear that again.
Wow.
I mean, it's almost...
that's romance.
It's almost heartbreaking, isn't it? Like... here's one last hand job to send you off. So, yes. Well, I don't know what to say about that one. Should we have another one?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Oh, for God's sake.
Guys, this is really hard because it could be both.
Could easily.
I haven't watched sci-fi porn. You should have, like, forewarned me. I'd have done research.
It could easily go either way.
Is he saying porn?
It kind of sounds like he is. I recognise this sound. And I mean, I've watched a lot of porn, so it could be from either, to be honest. I'm hearing, like, Star Wars.
I think either or has a good...
I think...
You're thinking of Chewbacca.
Chewbacca. I'm not thinking of Chewbacca. I'm thinking of... what's the really fat one who... kidnaps Princess Leia. What's his name?
I don't know.
What's his name, lovely producers? You know, the big fat guy.
Ewok.
No, Jabba the Hutt.
Yes.
I'm hearing Jabba the Hutt. Listen. Maybe? Is that possible?
Right, okay. What could be happening? It could be like the climax, if it was in a porn,
yeah.
of the chief global.
The chief global?
Do you know what I mean?
I hear anger. More than I hear pleasure.
He could be angry at the climax.
That's true.
You don't know the storyline. They're quite. I mean, Jane died giving a... No, gave a handjob as he died.
Yeah, it got quite dark, didn't it?
Yeah.
All right, final time, do you know?
We're thinking not porn. Not
I right. think not porn.
Okay, not
I
porn. Not final porn. Answer.
And the answer is...
Yes!
Not porn! Yeah,
okay,
sound
great.
Sample from Jabba the Hutt!
I'm you geek!
So proud of myself.
Well done.
I've exposed myself as a proper nerd, but I'm still so...
Well done, like, high five.
Yeah. 5 million points to me. So happy. All right, next one.
I mean, that sounds immediately like porn, doesn't it?
But I don't think it is. I think it's like somebody like riding some kind of beast and like they've been like thrown up and down on it. And they're like...
Let me hear it again.
That's what I'm seeing,
yeah,
you know? Like a.
I reckon your producers wanted to watch more sci-fi porn, so they're going to put lots of porn in.
So do we think that's some kind of like alien demon beast having sex with like
it could
some
easily
lady?
Be. Let's hear it again.
Oh.
So it's like, and then it lands. So
yeah.
It's like a foot goes.
There's definitely an up and down,
you're
isn't
right.
there?
That's a good thing. I think she's like riding a giant alien horse.
Like
maybe.
In a sexual way, though.
No,
because, you know, it could go either way.
Ride that context.
I think, yeah, again, I think they're trying to trip us up, and I think this is not porn again.
It feels like it could be like sampled for a song.
Yeah, you could absolutely make a song out of this.
Do you know what I mean?
I quite like it.
Can you
like
play it.
It
like several times in a row?
Oh, it doesn't work.
Oh,
if you I've tried doing that before, it doesn't work. We could do a bit of that and Jabba at the same time.
Oh,
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You should change this to like producing song.
What are we saying, Dino?
I'm gonna say not.
I mean,
it feels really obvious to be porn, but then they could be pulling a bluff.
I think we're going to say not porn. Not porn.
God, should have gone
damn.
With that.
No. Star Wars: The Force Inside. Princess Leia has come face to face with an enemy, Bubba the Gump, But then suddenly, FU2 comes to the rescue and hands her a vibrator to fight him.
Oh, wait, but they're not actually having sex in the scene.
Oh!
Is that right?
So there's no
so technically
sex
we win,
here.
Because that wasn't actually porn.
She's using the vibrator on him. As
oh,
like
on
a,
him?
In like a battle.
Like striking him with it?
I guess so. Or just like maybe like getting him in his gooblies.
Maybe.
Sexually.
No, like sexually. Okay, that was clarified.
All right, so now I understand. Okay, so this is a fight with a vibrator in a sexual
and
manner.
She's using it on him.
Yeah, and he's not happy about it.
Okay. Why is she so panty?
Well, she's so, yeah, come on, you're the one. Right, no fight, just sex. Right, there's okay. No fight, just okay. Sex. It's very hard to understand what is happening here.
Visuals.
Okay.
At this point in the clip.
Right, good. Very good. Should we have our final one?
Yeah.
It's a bit dark for me, not...
Oh, what'd she say?
It's a bit dark for me. It's a bit dark for me.
It's a bit dark for me, not...
It's a bit dark for me now.
Oh, so it could be
so
like
they've cut it off because it reveals something.
Something.
Listen again.
It's a bit dark for me now.
Yeah, she's about to say something else that would give
she
it away.
Northern Irish. It's a bit dark for me now.
It's a bit dark for me now.
Yeah,
it's a bit dark
for me now. So do we think like she's saying like, oh, do you want to do this sexual practice? And she's like, oh, it's a bit dark for me. Or is it like, oh, let's go into this like sci-fi cave?
It's a bit dark for me now. Let's go.
So it's a sci-fi movie set in
Northern Ireland. Classic. I mean, they film Game of Thrones there, so.
True. Well, we've had two porn and two not porn, so this could really go either way.
Let's listen to it again.
It's a bit dark for me,
The sci-fi sounds sound a little bit cheap.
So it could be porn.
Or it could be like a really cheap TV show or something. You know?
This isn't again.
It's a bit dark for me,
This isn't music's going like, me. So it's like, is that porn? Like, what? Were they playing music as the sex happens? Because think about it, if it's a sci-fi film, would they necessarily be like playing the music constantly throughout the scenes?
That's a good point. Like, the music needs to like be adding something to it.
Yeah.
It's a bit dark for me,
Yeah, I like your logic. So I think...
Not porn.
Yeah.
What, porn?
No, I was going to say porn.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think we're saying porn.
We're going to say porn. No.
Final answer.
Come on.
Yes! Porn! Yes! Porn track. Tasha and Ro sneak out to observe their male spacemate's penis. Then they decide that they can't compare them just by looking at them.
Okay.
And she's saying it's too dark to see the penis.
Oh,
it's too dark, can't see it.
Wait, let's hear it again then.
It's a bit dark for me,
okay. Yeah.
It's a bit dark for me now, or for penis. She's saying for me now.
For me now, I think. Yeah. So they're going to try them out by, I guess, having sex with them. Brilliant. I want to hear all of them again, just in a row. So here we go.
I like the way you're looking at me, boy.
It's a bit dark for me,
That was beautiful.
That was really right.
Beautiful. Well, good work, Dino. I think we...
What did we draw,
we
then?
We got, like, what, 2 out of 5?
Did we lose? We did pretty terribly.
Oh, well.
2 out of 3.
And you know, you're in a sci-fi show, so
I know.
You've really let me
down.
You've let your listeners down.
Let yourself down.
We're gonna be going to play some sex confessions very soon.
Okay,
if you want to send in your very, very last sex confessions, you can do that by emailing Callum@foodballradio.com and do it quickly. We're going to be reacting to those very soon. It's completely confidential, so don't worry about us reading your name out or anything like that. We've also had a couple of tweets in as well. The lovely Meg, who I believe is one of your followers.
She said all the time.
The game of two truths, one lie had me weak. It was rather amusing to listen to.
And she's a little Welsh as well.
Oh, we love the Welsh. Thank you for listening in, Meg. And also Siray Inc. Clothing. Siray Inc. says, loving the tunes, keep them coming. Well, we absolutely will. Let's have a little bit of Immaterial by Sophie. It's not
only girl in the eyes of my inner child. I could be anything I want, and no matter where I go, you'll always be here in my heart, here in my heart, here in my heart. I don't even have to explain, just leave me alone now. I can't be held down, I can't be held down. It might be that I could be anything I want. It might be that I could be anything I want. Anyhow, any place, anywhere, anyone, any form, any shape.
Radio presents
Access All Areas.
Charlie Frederick from Love Island.
Hello, hello, how you doing?
You're a good looking boy. I just was sad that you left so early. What was it with Hayley then? Was she just a bit cold and not
too
very
much
warm?
Of a princess, man. Like she wanted everything done for her, all come someone else. But like, even after the villa, like she just doesn't lift a finger and like, you know, I'm not into that. I like an independent woman.
You like an independent
100%. Someone a bit stronger,
studio,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're all independent women.
There you go then. Hit me up.
Every Thursday,
Access All Areas
from 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
It is time for everyone's favourite part of the show. It is time for some sex confessions. So you guys have sent in your deepest, darkest secrets to Dino and I, and we're going to have a little read through those now. So our first sex confession. I didn't have sex on my wedding night. Oh. My new bride and I were too excited. We just lay under the covers naked and did face masks, having an awesome girls' night in. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Oh, that's really sweet.
I love that, actually. And I think, like, you know, I think it's nice that there are, like, conventions and traditions around, you know, what you should do on your wedding night. But, you know, your wedding is your special day and, you know...
Make it whatever you want it to be. And they were probably too pissed.
Yeah, well, probably that as well. I'm sure that was a deciding factor. But I think I would love something like that on my wedding night. You know, like I can have sex with... If I've just married
a
guy...
I can like a face mask after the sex, maybe. But I definitely want sex on my wedding night.
I don't know. Like, I think I'd be okay with not having
would
sex.
You?
Because I'd be like, okay, I'm married to this guy now. We're going to be having...
Trapped.
...hot sex for the rest of our lives. Like, tonight, like, let's do something special instead. I mean, I guess you could make this sex special, like, jump out of an aeroplane and, like, have sex or something like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Could do it in the vein of sci-fi porn.
Yeah. I'd be very much into that. Very much into that indeed. But yeah, like a wedding night should be special, and I would rather be like, oh, you know, we've had such a wonderful evening with our family and friends.
I wouldn't like if we were having such an epic night at the wedding.
I wouldn't be like, right, quick,
oh, no, yeah,
quick to the bedroom.
If it just didn't happen, yeah, I wouldn't be livid about it.
But you would hope for just a little.
Oh yeah,
to seal the deal.
You'd sneak off at some point, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just go consummate this and we'll be back.
I feel like I'd be very horny on my wedding night.
Yeah.
I just feel like I would be.
It's something about the ceremony.
Yeah. It's a very exciting time. But good for you guys. I mean, it sounds like you had a lovely girls' night in.
Yeah.
And, I mean, amazing. Good for you. I'm a little bit jealous. Nick, do you want to read this one, Dino?
Okay, which one?
This one here.
My boyfriend, okay.
Yeah.
My boyfriend got mad at me because I got distracted by the World Cup score during sex. I mean, I'm just a dedicated fan.
I mean, like, you know, if it's on in the next room or you hear somebody start shouting about it, then, like, fair enough.
I mean, I feel like you shouldn't have had sex whilst the World Cup was on.
It seems like a bit. I mean? If you're a dedicated fan, what were you doing? Why weren't you sat watching it?
Been
is
like
my
later,
question.
Please.
You could have had like celebratory or commissionary sex.
Yeah, exactly.
Afterwards, instead of doing it during. Yeah, I'm mad at your boyfriend for getting mad at you because I wouldn't be mad.
No,
I'd. You know,
my boyfriend got mad at me because I got this. Yeah.
Come on. I'd be.
It's like it's his fault. He should have known.
He should have known. You know.
I'm sure you're focused most of the time.
Yeah. You're quite a big World Cup fan, right, Dino?
No. I mean, no.
Not even a little bit.
Okay, so I'm Welsh, so we're much more into rugby.
Okay,
so I don't really watch football. But like you said, I love how the World Cup has kind of brought everyone together, and it's just everyone's kind of like when the Olympics was here, everyone's super excited because England's getting so far. So yeah, I'm really enjoying the atmosphere, and I did watch the last match. And I found myself going like, come on!
Oh, yeah, amazing.
And I was like, wow.
Did you see any of it during Pride? Was that the last one?
I didn't see that one. I saw the one before that.
I mean, this will shock every single one of my listeners. I actually watched the match during Pride, which is insanity because I never watch it. But I just kind of found myself in a bar having a few drinks with some friends and the match was on. And we kind of like watched it. And it was like really nice.
Yeah.
And I loved how like... You know, everyone's celebrating Pride and everybody like enjoying
the
football.
Yeah, it was a nice. It was funny.
Came together.
Yeah, football's like seen as this, you know, like this uber kind of
masculine
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of far away from, I guess, Pride. And then the fact they were both on the same day. I was in Soho Square, and it was rammed. And every time they scored a goal, everyone just went, "Whoa!"
Yeah, that's so nice.
It was a nice little like what's the word? Like you wouldn't match them together. An unlikely.
Match, unlikely pairing. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I found myself walking into a bar at one point, and I was shirtless with like wings on, my whole body painted in rainbows, and I walked into this bar completely full of England fans, all in England t-shirts,
were they nice?
All like very cheering, and I stepping in, I felt a little bit like, oh God, like I don't belong here.
Yeah.
Like this is not a space for me. And I went up to the bar and instantly like people started talking to me and they were like, oh
nice.
Happy Pride.
That's lovely.
Are you having a great day?
Yeah, because when I found out it was happening on Pride, I won't lie, I was a bit like, oh, I hope nothing bad happens in terms of like, you know, aggression, but that's really nice to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it was a great It was a great thing, and yeah. And as for the being distracted by the score during sex, you know,
yeah,
it happens. Would you like to read?
Let's do the bigger one.
Would you like to read this nice long big one, Dina?
Shall I read it?
Yeah.
After sex, my partner took off the condom and apparently put it to the side of the bed. 20 seconds later, we couldn't find it anywhere. To this day, I haven't found it, and even though he's long gone, every visit to the gyno. I'm so paranoid that it's just sitting inside. Wait, so paranoid it's just sitting in me, and they'll pull it out and judge me.
Wait, I'm so confused by this.
So they had sex. Apparently, he put the condom to the side, and this person is convinced that maybe they didn't, and the condom is still living in them.
Oh my gosh! I'm.
That can happen, though. I think with girls.
Yeah.
It can like get stuck.
But just get
I don't know, but
stuck inside.
Yeah.
Permanently.
No, not like forever.
Oh, that's what I thought. I thought they were saying that it was like still in there.
No, she's not sure. I'm assuming it's a woman.
Yeah, whoever this person is. Oh, gosh. Like, I mean, yeah, that doesn't sound like a fun experience.
I mean, no. But maybe it just like fell through a floorboard.
Yeah,
I mean, it could have been slippery afterwards, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, yeah, I'm sure it just got lost.
Yeah, you're fine. Don't worry.
These things happen.
One day you're just gonna sneeze and it's gonna
just fly out of
your
there.
Nostril.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, just be careful with things like that. I think is my advice in that situation. Okay, I'm gonna read the next one. I'm a paramedic. I got fired for having sex with my partner in one of the beds at the back of the ambulance. Luckily, the new company I work for didn't ask for references.
No! I mean, do you know what? That actually sounds quite hot.
Yeah, I think it
sounds exciting. I'm sorry you got caught, because otherwise it would have been a great story.
It's still kind of is a great story. Like, I'm really sorry you got fired, but you've got a new you're working in a new job,
and you'll
so things
be
worked
a paramedic.
Out.
You've got the skills.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant one. I think also like a little bit harsh to fire you.
Like, if the bed wasn't neat, fair enough. If there was an old woman in the street,
yeah, that's but, a bit different.
Yeah, if it's empty,
but yeah,
oh, crazy.
Presumably, it was going to get cleaned afterwards.
Yeah, you know,
like a slap on the wrist, a telling off, maybe a disciplinary.
Yeah, I wonder how they got caught. Was it like by the paramedic partner?
Oh yeah, I don't know.
Or
like,
do you reckon it was like they opened the doors opened and at the hospital and they came rushing in to rush them out?
Well, I'm giving this person the benefit of the doubt, and I'm assuming that this was probably like a parked ambulance.
Yeah,
like,
thought they had privacy.
Yeah, like it wasn't in use, and they were like, right, let's just have a quick one in here. There's no one around. No one's going to find us. And then I don't know, maybe somebody came to clean the ambulance.
Maybe those ambulance cleaners.
I don't know how it works. And there they were like. Bonking away.
I wonder what it was like when we went to the new company and they're like, so you used to be a paramedic, why this?
I guess I think it's quite lucky that they didn't ask for references in that instance, and I would like to think that your old employer wouldn't be like, yeah, we fired them for fucking in the back of an ambulance. Like, why ruin their
everybody shags,
everybody does it, we've all been there,
there's still a bird.
We're gonna do some more sex confessions, but let's have a little bit of Blink-182 first.
Josie, you're my source of most frustration. Forget when I don't meet expectations. Everything you wish came true. In the end, we all blamed you. Even though as they all know, you weren't the only one. 2, 3, 4. Why do you still keep it around? What do you know? It brings me down. I'm hating everything. And I know that you did other guys, but I gotta wonder why you'd leave it out for me. Why am I still hanging around when I know it brings me down? I'm hating everything. And you are getting right home in his car, you're making out in his front yard. I'm hating everything. Please don't remind me. Put your back behind me. Try to fight it wisely. Wish you could win. And I am not bad as bad as all you want. But he's good and used to be. Now can we just pretend? And if we can have another day, I've got so much left to say. I tell you everything. And I laugh when I think about the past. When I see you after class, you're hating everything. Please don't remind me. Put your back behind me. Try to fight it wisely. Wish you could win.
Now, before we go back into sex confessions, Dino, did you hear about Pride Boxing last week?
No.
So it was an amazing little event as part of Pride in London. Mm-hmm. And they got a load of LGBT plus people and they trained them over several months and then they got them all together.
Oh, wow. And they battled each other.
Yeah. Like, they literally got into the ring and like fought each other. And I went along and like talked to some of them.
Where was it?
And it was absolutely incredible. It was over in West London.
Oh, okay.
And it was just amazing. And they were all talking about, like, how difficult... They were saying getting punched in the face was hard. Yeah. Like, for the first time, somebody whacking you in the face.
They have gloves, right?
They have gloves. One of them was saying that, you know, she just, like, burst into tears when she first got hit in the face. But they were all saying, like, hitting someone in the face for the first time was the hardest thing.
Oh, really?
But just an amazing group of people. We put together like a little video package which we're putting out on social media. So for our lovely listeners, you can see that by going over to the FUBAR Radio Twitter or the YouTube. You can see that over there. But yeah, it was a great little piece, and just shout out to them Samford. Yeah. Amazing work. And absolutely. Just, I think, challenging ideas around like masculinity. Because, you know, so many people, oh, gay men aren't masculine.
Yeah,
I think,
exactly.
Get them in a ring, hitting each other is next level.
Yeah.
I think we have time for a couple more sex confessions. Would you like to read this one, Dino?
Okay. I was out of data, so I once drove around with my laptop looking for free Wi-Fi purely to download porn.
I mean, how desperate were you for the porn? I mean,
it must have been really hungover, or she doesn't say.
There was once a time, and I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, when me and my ex-boyfriend, we were living together, we were students, and we loved watching porn together. And we went quite a long period, like around 3 months or something, without internet at home and this was the days before we had like decent data on our phones or anything. This was like 10 years ago. So things were very different, and we actually went to the university library and ordered porn DVDs online to be delivered to us, just because it was like we really liked watching porn together. That was
what, like with popcorn?
No, like not just like sit down. Like we'd like put it on and like, you know, mess around with each other and stuff. And
great.
It was fun. So we, so this person kind of reminds me of me. Just that, no, I need to find Wi-Fi.
They need to download like an emergency DVD. Put it in a glass box.
Yeah, like person after my own heart. Yeah. For sure.
I respect the dedication, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't just go, oh, I've got no data. They went, no, I'm going to go in my car.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the effort to get up, get dressed, get in my car. And go and find Wi-Fi to find porn.
It's a lot of effort to go to.
That person's going to be successful.
Massive respect to them. All right, the next one. I was trying to sneak out of this house during a walk of shame, but instead I fell down the stairs, spilling Coke all over myself, their walls and the carpets.
Oh, awkward.
Again, it's kind of the thing I would do.
Trying to make a secret, like, getaway.
It never works, does it? Whenever you're trying to sneak out. I always find as well, like, if
I've done it before, and like, and then the door was locked, and I had to go and wake him up and be like,
you crawl back up. Can't I get out? Not like tried going out the window or anything like that.
No. No, but that, funnily enough, I like saw a guy once when I was like 19, and he wasn't out. So we went out on the piss, and then in the morning I was in his halls at uni.
Yeah.
And his mates were like, boom, 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 happy birthday, open the door.
No.
And he was like, shit, I'm so sorry, but you have to get out the window.
Oh,
they don't know
I'm
gay. So I was like, oh my God.
Fucking
so then I had to climb. Luckily, it was ground floor. Climb out of University Hall's window.
And he got away with it. Like they didn't find out. I mean, saying got away with it seems wrong.
I was livid.
I can only imagine.
I didn't know he wasn't out.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
He could have like made you hide under the bed or something, no. Like rather than get out the window.
They were like proper banging on the door.
Fuck.
Like, we've got a cake.
That's incredible. Yeah. Like, obviously I don't want this guy to be outed before he was ready, but I just think, like, what a scene if they just kind of burst in and seen the two of you in bed together.
Exactly.
Sounds like something out of a trashy movie.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Do you want to read this one?
Okay. I'm gay, Christian, and my dad is a preacher. He now loves to gossip with me about the guys I'm dating and helps me judge them on Grindr because I came out and the happiest version of myself.
Oh my God, that's so lovely.
So nice, especially like there's such an idea surrounding religion, isn't there?
Yeah, like even, and I mean it's maybe it's problematic of me to think this, but even as you started reading that then I was like, I heard I'm gay, Christian, and my dad is a preacher, and I thought, oh God, shit's about to get dark. Which is, I guess, naughty of me, because actually this is like a lovely little story, and that's that your dad's a preacher and you sit together and like looking at guys on
the
Grindr.
Image of him being like, no. Any more pics?
No, absolutely not. Next one.
Like, lock.
That's absolutely amazing. So, I mean, shout out to you and your dad for breaking stereotypes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome.
Brilliant. I love you both. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the dad in Love, Simon. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, sorry. No spoilers. No spoilers. Just go and watch it.
Have you
it.
Seen Call Me By Your Name?
I have. I
the
love
dad
Call
in
Me
that.
By Your Name.
It's one of the best films I think I've ever seen.
The Peach. It's
peach.
All about the peach.
No, I was ruined for days after that film. I was like
sobbing. Yeah,
you know the scene with the dad when he's like, when he says about let this pain come.
Yeah. And the end of that movie just obliterated me.
Incredible.
Dino, that actually brings us to the end of today's show.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure and loads of fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming
on. Great.
If people, I mean, I'm sure all the lovely listeners are already stalking you all over social media, but if they want to follow you on your adventures, where can they do that?
It's just my first and surname on my Instagram and Twitter, so Dino Fletcher.
But it's Fletcher with like an S,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's a German
tricky spelling.
People always think it's Fletcher, so but this is the conversation that usually goes like Fletcher, and they go Fletcher, and I say Fletcher, and they say Thatcher. I'm like, no,
absolutely not Thatcher.
Yeah, it's Fetscher.
Amazing. Well, everyone should go and follow you. You've been an amazing guest. We've had a lot of fun. Thank you for coming on, and I'm going to play you out with a little bit of Tegan and Sarah.
Amazing.
See you later, guys.
Bye.
That I can't hold back. The feeling that you give me, wanna give it right back. I know you always win at this particular.